The biggest issues, the biggest stories, the biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's Monday with Steve and Carol.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Juneteenth Day, Carol Kane.
That's what I understand.
Yes, celebrates not the right word. It commemorates the end of slavery in the United States. Lots of local celebrations. Milwaukee's one of the communities where this actually really started to be a big deal. And there's a parade. Our friends and teammates at the Truth 101.7.
Right.
They're all out there. We're going to have some local coverage on TMJ4, our partners at TMJ4. They've got the parade on live on their net, on their
right.
channel.
So, that ends at like the Black Holocaust Museum. Is that correct?
I think so.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually asked it in the show poll today because I didn't know until Friday that this was a paid holiday for us.
I didn't know until I walked in the door this morning
right.
and you said it was a paid holiday.
So many of us who are working today, the Vinces, the Erics, the John McCures, myself, producers, illustrious producer Brandon Snide, big time sports guy. We'll be taking a different day because we're working today. So, but I asked this question, and I'm curious to know what your workplace does. So does your employer, this is to all of you, does your employer honor this as a paid holiday where you work? And we almost got 100 votes, and I just started. No, 73%, which surprised me, actually, because it's a federal holiday.
Yeah, I would think they'd have to.
Yeah, yes, 21%. We're off but not paid, 1%, and then a couple comments. So let us know. If you're not on the Twits, you can certainly let us know on the old National Bank talk and text line, 855-616-1620.
See, I think Lou at Metromart makes time and a half because it's a federal holiday.
Nice.
You know, I could be wrong, but I think that that's kind of what a lot of companies do if you have to work, especially in that kind of, you know, the public sector like that. But wow, 70, that's big. That's a big number. I'm having trouble.
That say no, they don't. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation because even though you want to respect the day, there's a need to still have people working. Like, someone has to work here while everyone else is off.
Sure.
The offices are closed upstairs.
You know, for me, it's no big deal just because I can't tell you how many holidays I missed because I just was expected to be at
right.
work. I mean, this is a job that is critical to an awful lot of people in case there would be an emergency or something like that. You are then available to disseminate the information. So I don't know what it's like to be off for a bit.
Yeah.
Never.
And you
never
and I worked, we worked Memorial Day.
Yeah.
We worked Labor Day last year. So it's kind of, in my sense, and this is maybe just me, I let some of the younger folks with families and kids, they can take the day off. You know, my kids are grown up.
Right.
So me being off at completely or off at noon, not that much different.
Yeah, my kids go out of their way not to be in my company. So to work is not a big deal.
So speaking of age gap. So I was thinking about this. I typed a quick text to my piano teacher and I used the word gallivanting.
Okay.
And she said she hadn't heard that in a while. Is that not a word that people use anymore? Gallivanting. For me, it means just doing a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
Going, you know, flitting about, you know, I was talking about the fact that I'm off this week. Now, show notes. Wednesday, Mr. Jeff Wagner's doing my show.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I'm going to try him out, see how he likes it.
Oh, okay. Because he's off for baseball, right? His show's
So basically, I'm doing some covers for him. I do like a half hour here, half hour there. So he said, you know what? You take that day, which is very generous. And I appreciate Jeff doing this. So he's working my show. I think he's going to extend it to about 12:30 when we have Brewers coverage.
Right.
So I'm off Wednesday. And then my Memorial Day exchange day is Thursday. So I'm off Thursday, too.
Okay.
So kind of a weird week, Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, you're off gallivanting.
I'll be gallivanting. So, 855-616-1620. First of all, are there words that you use that people go like, I have not heard that in a while? I'm trying to think of other examples. You used one before.
Oh, God.
Canoodle.
Canoodle. Are they canoodling? And not? I have people
that's
that
not
don't
sexual,
understand.
Right? That's different.
No. It's like hugging or cuddling or like if I see two dogs together, they're canoodling. They're just kind of like being buddy-buddy, like if they're sleeping next to one another.
Because I've heard someone use that term in reference to thinking about something.
Oh, okay.
I'm canoodling.
I'm canoodling?
Like your brain's working.
Willy-nilly is another one of those.
Yeah. What about whoops-a-daisy?
I say whoops-a-daisy a lot.
You do. You and Hugh Grant.
And you know what else? And it's funny because when I was happened to be in the grocery store when I was, this is like a year ago, and I was, and I'm tall, so it's not really hard for me to reach stuff, but I said, oofta? You've heard oofta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that came down from my Nana, my mom said it, everybody. So I said, oofta, and this couple had been walking by, and literally they sought me out later on, and the woman came up to me and she goes, my husband heard you say oofta. Are you Norwegian?
Yes,
yes, I am.
Origin word.
Yeah, and so she was like, oh, he's Norwegian too. So it was just interesting, but not if you're not Norwegian, you're not using oofta.
Mike joins us from Oxford. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey. I'm a teacher, and when I tell my kids, you got to be here at 20 to 9 or 1:45, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They look at me like I've got two heads.
Yeah, because
they can't read a round clock anymore.
Yeah, there's no such thing as looking at the hands of a clock. It's all digital now.
Right, and if you say 1:45, they're completely bamboozled, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike.
There's another one, bamboozled.
Here's one. Rigmarole.
Oh, rigmarole? Yeah.
I'm not even sure what the origin of that word is.
I don't know what it is, but see, I haven't found one yet that you've been reading or talk that we've been talking about that I don't use.
Okay, so everybody knows what this is, groovy. Now, I say groovy just to irritate people, when I say it, it's like I know that I'm going to irritate people. That was a 60s term.
Yeah, and it's irritating.
Why?
Right? Just because right the minute that came out of your mouth, I was irritated. I'm like, what?
That's
we're going
random.
To blows over groovy.
How about okie dokie? I still say that.
I text okie dokie a lot.
Both of those I use all the time, yeah. Groovy and okie dokie.
Careful there. Someone might say you're old.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Debbie's not old, but someone might say she's old. Egads is another one.
Boy, that's from the I can only think of the girl in the Music Man. It was the Music Man musical with Robert Preston. Okay, Brandon, I know I'm going way back on this one, so just look
he
it up.
He doesn't even know what the Music Man
and Shirley
is.
Jones.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I am old.
When Shirley Jones was hot.
Yes. So yes, you're right, Deb. And so at the end, she's got a crush on the guy that turns into this drum major, this young girl does, and she has egads. She says it all the time.
How about this? Lollygagging?
Sure.
Skedaddle.
Skedaddle. Yeah, skedaddle means get out of here.
Yeah, well, they mean opposite things, right?
Yes, lollygagging exactly.
Means you're just kind of hanging around.
Right, right.
That's an interesting word because I don't know where that came from, lollygagging.
It's just an increase in your vocabulary. Makes you more interesting.
That's right.
That's what I like.
It's a little spice in your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Okie dokie's a big one. Peachy.
Okay.
Oh my God. Peachy. Are you like looking into my brain?
Debbie, she's young, but she's got an old soul.
Okay.
Which is not a bad thing, Debbie.
Sure.
I'm not young, but okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Chris joins us from Madison. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So,
I just tuned in and heard this, and it just got me laughing, and I have two for you. The first one is for crying out loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one. And then if you drift a little north up to Sheboygan, it's, oh, crying.
Oh, sure.
Those two are like, what do they mean?
Right. Well, crying out, what's the second one?
Oh, cried. So, going, oh, cried.
Oh, cripes.
Oh.
Oh, cripes.
I never used that one.
I don't know.
And crying out loud has got to be, that's ancient.
Oh, my mom and dad.
I'm the groovy, though. I'm using it.
Yeah, I just use it to irritate people. Thanks for the call, Chris, who took time to call in. That's awesome. Yeah, I have a couple things I do with language. I love to kind of experiment and add words.
Yeah.
It's not word of the day because there's people that do that, and on its face, that irritates me because you're just doing it every day to be weird. But throwing in a new word every once in a while is interesting. And then, or I try to irritate people with words that I pick.
This was when I was in college, because I was a communications major. I took this class called The History of the Language, and it did that, exactly what you're talking about. Like, we explored the origins of our lexicon and the words that are. It was a fascinating, you know, Anglo-Saxon. Is this European? What is this?
Well, we got a nice mix here. So, I mean, we're going to get all of the good ones.
Sure.
We'll take a break. 855-616-1610 if you got a good one. Oofta, snafu.
Okay.
Juggernaut.
Okay. Well, I think of the. All I can think of is the X-Men series with Juggernaut.
Yeah, discombobulated, of course, the famous sign at the airport, Milwaukee Airport. Made famous by, I think, Dan Schaefer.
Really?
Yeah, local writer. Finagled.
Okay.
Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit.
I haven't heard that one in a while, but that was very common when I was growing up.
Whatchamacallit,
you're
yeah.
trying to figure out what it is, but so you just... You
what, come is up with, yeah, what is this? It's a whatchamacallit.
It's a whatchamacallit. You know, you're like expecting the person to answer the question.
Yeah. I got a couple of things I'm staring at right now in the studio. It's just like, that's a whatchamacallit. I don't know what it is.
If you don't know the name for something.
All I don't know.
What's yours? 855-616-1620. You're listening to a special Juneteenth edition of Steve and Carol on WTMJ. What's your word? We're tossing around some old sayings and words that people don't use anymore. When you say them, they're like, what are you talking about? Whatchamacallit? A majiggy thingamajiggy?
Thingamajiggy. Yeah, I probably, honestly, I probably use like 90% of these. There's only a few that I don't really come to the forefront.
I got a ton of calls on this as well. So somebody sent one in, bug tussle. And I asked them, I don't think they know what it means either. What does bug tussle mean or refer to? Bug tussle. That one I had not heard.
I've heard it. I just don't ever use it and I don't know.
Yeah. Mike joins us on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We are good on good. This Juneteenth day. What's your word?
Absolutely. So, well, it's funny. You mentioned the word snafu. I just found out about a month ago what that means. It's an acronym, actually.
Okay. For?
It's a military term. I don't know if you want me to say it on the air.
Wait, has it got a bad word in it? Okay. I bet you it does.
Well, basically, I can do it without the bad word.
All right.
It literally means situation normal, all blanked up.
Got it. Okay.
Oh.
I just found that out.
Oh, interesting. But, I did not know that.
Yeah, I just found it out. It's a military term, so it's kind of funny.
All right.
And when you were mentioning groovy, I thought about the Brady Bunch, because that's the only time I ever heard that word.
Yeah.
But I don't really have one myself, but my dad would always use the term, that really irks me. And I always laughed when he would say that, because it's just, I don't hear anyone else say that.
How old's your dad? Because so, I use that term.
Oh, really? Well, my dad is going to be 83 this year.
Man. He's way older than me, and I still use it.
Yeah.
Irks.
I guess it's not, you know, totally, you know, it's still in use, but I guess no one from my generation would say that, so whenever he would say that, I just got a big kick out of it.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Pat has one. This is an interesting one, too, because I don't use this one, but I know what it is. Hey, Pat.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, the other day I used this term with my granddaughter, who's 19 years old, and I said to her, you besmirched my person. Well, I could have been speaking a foreign language. She had no clue as to what I was saying.
And what were you saying to her? I know what it means, but explain to everybody what that is.
You smeared my you smeared me.
Yes. You said
you
something.
You dishonored me.
Yeah, not flattering. You didn't honor the person.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid I would have said to her, you need to leave now. I need to red up the house. She would still be talking to herself. That is a term I grew up with. I'm from Indiana, and my grandmother was Amish. And that was a term they used for straightening up the house.
Really?
I'll be darned. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it.
I'm learning all kinds of things.
Brandon's playing audio. I heard Trump in there somewhere.
You guys are ruining my.
Well, because you got to let it pause there, buddy.
I'm trying.
Hit it again.
I got a word for you.
Yeah.
It was used in the Army a lot. Dagon.
Dagon. Yeah, it's.
It's Southern.
Yeah, dagon. Yeah. Doggone it.
No, it's more than that.
No, it's like grab that dagon.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a descriptive, but I'm not sure what it actually. Is descriptive about, like, what does it mean exactly? Someone will tell us. Jim joins us from Bayview.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Jim's got a great radio voice.
My mom and my grandma, they would use this word. I haven't heard this one yet. Pertinier.
Pertinier, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pertinier, yeah.
Jim, did you ever do radio?
Yes. I haven't, but a lot of people told me that I had the voice.
Jim, you got the voice. I would, if you did a newscast, I would sit there listening intently to the great tones in your voice, the subtleness, the emphasis.
Well, thank you very much. I spent my whole life helping people as a respiratory therapist.
Oh, wow.
I love music. That's the number one thing in my life, music.
Really? I love that. So,
yes, sir.
So when you were doing your job as a respiratory therapist, you could soothe them with your voice to kind of ease them through the process.
Oh, yes. Sometimes I had my arm around them, and I was trying to tell them, please, just take in a slow, deep breath and exhale slowly.
Isn't he relaxing? I love it, Jim. Thanks for the call. I was relaxed just hearing Jim talk. We got a pig snort out of Carol on that one. I love that. All right, we got a bunch more coming in, including one from Florida. We'll spin it around the break here, listening, of course, to WTMJ. Talking about some words that we don't use anymore. It all started when I sent a note to my piano teacher, Shelly, saying I'm off Wednesday and Thursday, so I won't be at piano, and I'll be out gallivanting. And she goes, I hadn't heard that word in a while, which just means going off doing whatever.
Just going off willy-nilly.
Yeah. Now, we were asking about bug tussle before. It means the same thing, apparently, as podunk, which is kind of a remote backwards.
Oh, okay.
Backwoodsy.
Okay.
Rural.
Okay.
Stream rural.
See, it sounded like a city to me. Like, isn't there a country song or something that says bug tussle?
I don't know.
I think
remember
there
the
is.
Show Petticoat Junction?
Sure.
Yeah, that's 60s.
Yeah.
So basically, it was like the guy at Hot Daughters? Is that the deal with that?
Yeah, and there were three daughters.
He was the local judge or something.
And the mom ran like a boarding house or it's been a long time. It's been a long time. You ever go back and watch those things?
They're horrible. Come on.
Exactly.
Green Acres.
Oh, sad.
Was that Zsa Zsa Gabor? Was that Eva Gabor or Zsa Zsa? One of the two.
Zsa Zsa.
You sure it was
Zsa? No, it was Eva.
Eva Gabor.
It was Eva Gabor.
Zsa Zsa was the other one.
Yeah.
Eva Gabor.
Zsa Zsa was the one that married that prince and all that stuff. Anyhow.
Hunky Dory.
Hunky Dory? Yeah, I still say that. Hunky Dory.
So what does that mean in your mind?
It's like
everything's good?
Yeah, everything's hunky dory. Yeah, everything's fine.
Now this one I've never used. Cattywampus.
Oh, you really never use it?
That's not something
I've
seen.
That's cattywampus. Really?
Brandon, what do you think cattywampus means? Cattywampus. He's talking to somebody back there. It means things are screwed up.
I was going
to
say off kilter. Things are a little
screwed up.
Yeah. Catty corner. You know, nobody uses that anymore.
Catty corner. Yeah.
Right, right.
That means diagonally from your
sure.
From your point of reference.
Yeah.
Snug as a bug in a rug.
Well, that's an old phrase, sure.
Oh, here, the Beverly Hillbillies refer to bug tussle quite often on the show.
That's what it was.
That's where your reference
that's
came
That's what I'm thinking.
Here's one.
Yes.
Kibosh. He put the kibosh on something.
I use that a lot.
He just shut it down.
Yeah. I'm going to put the kibosh on that.
I still say that.
Yeah, I do a lot. I do too.
Anybody under 30, they're not saying that word.
My kids may know some of this just because of the fact that they grew up with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they may have a relative like connection, but they would certainly not know all of these.
Now, here's one I didn't think about.
Oh, okay.
But I used this word last week. Noggin.
Oh, sure. Your noggin? N-O-G-G-I-N. Noggin. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if I said that to Anna or Jesse, they wouldn't know what I was talking about.
I'm going to hit myself in the noggin?
Yeah, I got hit right in the noggin.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah, they
That's got to be... Well, here's the one. Everybody's sending in discombobulated from the airport. Yeah, it's the sign that hangs there. You're aware of that, right?
I'm not... It doesn't come to mind right now
so
because
when you
I
go
haven't
through,
been...
Yeah, when you go through security, there's a sign, discombobulation zone or discombobulated, something like that.
I haven't been to the airport in 4 years, so...
You've given up flying?
No, I'm just... I just have been unavailable, let's put it that way.
So if you have a couple ideas, Cattywampus is getting a lot of love. It's no surprise, 262, that the Green Acres, the Beverly Hillbillies, and Petticoat Junction were created by the same writers and production company in that crossover storylines and occasional crossover characters. Yes, they're all kind of interrelated.
Sure, sure.
I don't know what this one... Toofy. Toofy.
Not too fur? 2 feet.
Oh, I think it must mean twofer. They left the R off. Is it twofer? That means two for one.
Yeah.
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 Let's see. Wishy-washy.
Okay. That means, you know, it's just kind of like you're not taking a stand on anything. You're kind of wishy-washy. You're kind of like right in the middle. Make a decision.
See, I haven't looked all these up. If I had a moment, I've looked some of these up. And they have, a lot of them have European origins from the actual words they used.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
And then, of course, Yiddish is another one.
Sure.
That have become popularized because a famous person used them or a comedian used them in a routine and other people hear it and then they start saying it.
Yeah, but we're the great melting pot here. So why should it be surprised that these things became mainstream? Because, look at Milwaukee, the entire state, but look at Milwaukee and the huge contingency we have of all these different ethnic groups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no reason why it wouldn't cross over.
How about this one? A horse apiece.
Okay, that's an old. I don't think I've ever used that.
I think it kind of means it's like it doesn't really matter. A horse apiece. So we both win, we both lose, something like that.
That's a really good question. I'm not sure.
The bee's knees.
Bee's knees.
Which means I think it means outstanding.
It means you're pretty cool. If you're the bee's knees, that means you're pretty cool.
Think about that for a second. How could that possibly mean anything cool? A bee and his knees.
I don't know.
See, I tend to overthink these things.
You're asking me. I say this to my kids all the time. You're asking me questions of which I have no answer. I just know that what they mean.
Now people are sending me obscene ones. I can't read those. Get your ears lowered.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Tell us what that means, Texter from the 920. Some more information. It's only at the Milwaukee Airport. It's called the Recombobulation Zone.
Okay.
It's been there for a long time.
I don't know.
For the 9-2, I'm a substitute teacher, and I love to use cattywampus with kids when their desk needs straightening. They love learning new words. See, I love that connection. Old with new kids.
Sure. I mean, because at this particular juncture, a lot of the kids, they don't even know total words. Because if they're stuck in the text world, you know, you is not Y-O-U. It's you.
Oh, you know what? Get your ears lowered means getting a haircut.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Trimming.
Well, I'm getting my ears lowered next week.
There you go. Now, this one's actually pretty popular. I don't know that I've used it recently. Smidge.
Oh, it means just a little teeny tiny bit.
A little bit tiny.
I just need a smidge of salt.
Take a smidge off that piece of wood.
Right.
Just a little, just to fit it in there.
Yeah.
Smidge.
See, and the younger, listen to me, I sound like I'm 100. They would just say, just shave a little off or do this much more or whatever. You know, it's instead of one word, it's a phrase that they have to use to describe what they need to do. Now, you and I, if you said take a smidge off that, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now, this is I think a younger version of what we're talking about, because the ones we're doing are pretty old. They're older and sometimes ethnic. Cray cray.
Oh, sure.
That's a younger person's version of
crazy.
You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's cray or cray cray or cray.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's not old.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't know how that started, to tell you the truth, but I know what it means.
Apparently, smidgen and a tad are the same thing.
I would say so, yeah.
Thanks for this walkthrough of the world of crazy old-fashioned vocabulary. We're going to look back at Father's Day and welcome your thoughts as well, 855-616-1620 on this Juneteenth day here on WTMJ. They keep coming in on the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line. How about hankering for something? You got a hankering for that. I got a hankering for a cream puff from the Wisconsin State Fair.
Okay.
Comes from a Flemish or Dutch phrase, to hanker or long for.
Yeah, a buddy of mine just texted me, too. He said keister. Nobody uses keister anymore
butt.
Either.
Your
mm-hmm.
butt.
Mm-hmm.
Jim joins us from Pewaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, hi.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You and Carol sound wonderful together.
Oh. I appreciate that.
One of the things that my grandson said to us after he was over at the house, and my wife said, here, put this blouse on a Davenport. He's wandering around the house, and he went over to his mother, and he says, what's a Davenport?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Is it the couch? It's the couch, right?
It's a couch.
All right.
Yeah, nobody calls. I don't think anybody calls it. Thanks for the call, Jim. I don't think anybody calls it a Davenport. Although I was telling you during the break, I think we bought a couch from Steinhoffel's and it said Davenport on the label.
Well, now let me ask you this. Does it have any pull-out, like, options? Like it becomes a bed or it's got a longer chair, you know?
Oh, it's a longer chair. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's not just a chair. It's, like, longer.
See, I'm wondering if the word Davenport now indicates a special style.
Well, I can look that up.
Why don't you?
I'm going to look it up and tell just you what it acts. So the actual meaning, piece of furniture that you might lounge on in your living room. It's another name for an upholstered couch or sofa. I think the loungy piece is where maybe that's why they labeled it a Davenport. Because it is big. It's kind of longer or what's the term? Deeper.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe.
So that makes sense.
Sure. Sure. It's a style then, kind of. Couch is an umbrella word. You know, my love seat is not my couch. That's a love seat.
It's shorter.
Shorter.
It's like two people versus three people, supposedly.
Right, right.
This one everybody knows, but it's not knuckle sandwich.
How about knucklehead?
Knucklehead. Well, completely different things, but knuckle sandwich means you're going to...
get punched to the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Knucklehead just means...
You ever had a knuckle sandwich?
No, but I've hit other people. Not recently, but... Yeah.
Really?
Let's not go into the details.
Oh, see, now I want to know the details.
Time machine. Well, that's just a...
Sure.
And what was it? What was the abbreviation? It was your... Now I'm going to not remember what it stood for.
What?
Time. T-Y-M-E.
T-Y-M-E.
Yeah, what was the... I should know this.
Yes, you
should. What's the term?
Is that... Well, time machine, is that an ATM?
Yes, but it... The T-Y-M-E stood for something. M-E. Somebody will tell me. Steve from Cudahy. No, he's not.
Take your money away? Take your money now? Take your money?
Take your money everywhere. That's what it is. Thank you, Jim from Fond du Lac. Take your money everywhere. That was the first version of an ATM.
Hey, I think I helped contribute to that. I just gave you the first three.
You did.
Don't be just thinking, Jim.
Jim and Carol for the assist on the... Okay, now, okay, I got it. I like 50... Take your money everywhere. I got it. That's what it is. All right.
I don't get too many pats on the back, man. I need one every now and then.
All right, Carol. Patting Carol, figuratively patting Carol on the back. All right. Enough with the take your money everywhere. I got it. Thank you for your... it shows people are listening. I love that.
Okay.
All right. Since we're on this bent, we'll stay on the words and phrases that we don't use anymore. And then we'll get to something else. I still got to get to Father's Day. By the way.
Yeah.
This should be the week where all the weather people take off. There's no reason. Any station in town that does more than a minute of weather, what are you doing?
Hey, I like to watch Mark Baden, and he can take as much time as he wants because I think he's a really nice guy. He's a good guy.
I say he wasn't a good guy?
I see him in the grocery store with his girls, and he's a great father and a great dad. He can talk as long, and he's quite easy on the eyes. So I'm just going to sit and watch him.
Sounds like you got a little hankering for some Mark Baden.
I think he's wonderful.
All right. David from Grays Lake, you'll be up next as we round out the 9 o'clock hour on Juneteenth Day here on WTMJ. It's funny how when you do a radio show, you're going to spend an whole hour on just something that was innocently thrown out there, and it's like generated all these cool old phrases and sayings and kind of fun.
Well, you know, it's interesting because people like to walk down memory lane or find out, you know, remember the funny words that they maybe grew up with. I grew up with all kinds of words. Oof-da again.
Yeah. I learned you got a thing for Mark Baden, apparently.
I think he's a lovely man.
He is. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's probably the nicest weatherman we have.
I don't know any of the other ones, so I can't. I love Sally Severson. She's a very good friend of mine.
I'm a big fan of Lindsay Slater because she was in gymnastics with my daughter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. You're in the same place.
Yeah, no,
same place.
I've never met her.
David from Grays Lake.
Hi, David.
Joins us on this Juneteenth Day. Hey, David.
Yes. I got a few of them here. I was thinking about it. Touche.
Oh, yeah.
Use that one or that one. And then skosh, you know, if it's close or you need a bit more.
Just a skosh more fubar, cinnamon.
Fubar, I think, is kind of a military term.
Correct.
Screwed up beyond belief.
Yeah. Thanks for editing.
Yes. And then my grandpa, great-grandpa used to say rubity boobus, which was kind of a confused or screwed up or in disarray or whatever, something like that. I don't know if he if he made it up himself.
Rubity?
Rubity boobus.
Oh, I've never heard
that. Never heard that one.
What?
Yeah. Exactly.
Was he a German?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it, calling all the way from Grays Lake.
I'm learning a lot about the military with their words.
Yeah. And almost all of them have the F word that they've. You can scrub them, but they all have the F word in it, right, which doesn't surprise me. Now, this is a really common one that is dated. Off your rocker.
Oh, sure.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But yet, anybody young, they don't say that.
I
don't even say it anymore.
Are you off your rocker? You don't say that?
I'd say you're cray-cray or cray.
Oh, because you're so street.
Yeah, well, I'm hip and groovy. I do say groovy just to irritate people because I know it. For some reason,
I hate that
word. It's supposed to be like groovy and fun and peaceful, but if for some reason, it just rubs people the wrong way.
All I think of is the Manson family. I'll go straight to the Manson family.
I just started watching a series. Oh, what is the name of that thing? With Manson as part of it.
It's the documentary?
No. This is it's from like 2016. Duchovny's in it. David Duchovny?
Okay.
I'll look it up. It's brilliant. It looks at the early story of the Manson family.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
I'm obsessed with that. You'll enjoy that.
I'll look it up and we'll tell you where to go if you want to find it. She's Carol. I'm Steve. It's Juneteenth Day. We'll take a break for news and then lots more show before we get out of here for Jeff Wagner at noon.
The biggest issues. The biggest stories. The biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue. It's Monday with Steve and Carol.
Happy Monday, everybody. Juneteenth Day. So the parade is ongoing in the streets of Milwaukee. And a lot of different programming on our other stations, ESPN 94.5 and The Truth 101.7. But we're doing it the regular way on this Monday.
Right.
That was a fascinating hour talking about nothing. I love that.
Well, you know what? It's one of those situations, like I said, where people, it's fun for, it's like almost a brain scramble for them as they try to access the files and figure it out. So
they dust off that part of the gray matter.
Exactly.
From the 2-6, a couple little tidbits before we get to the Father's Day segment of the show.
All right.
Carol, with you all the way on Mark Baden, Hubba Hubba.
I speak the truth. And you know what? He is the kindest
man. He's a super nice guy.
Nice guy.
And smarts, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Yep.
And we shared a contractor at one point years ago. He went from my house to his house back and forth.
Oh, well, look at that.
He would try to pry him away from my project to get
his done
and vice versa.
Okay.
It was like this war of projects.
This war of media giants.
And they both turned out great.
Okay, great.
It's now my sunroom was the
contract. Sure. Okay. Yeah, that worked out well.
A couple things. Steve says use hip and groovy in the same sentence. There you go.
I'm kind of embarrassed for you.
No, I like it. I do it to antagonize in a fun way. So my wife hip. Kathy says I'm not hip, but I beg to disagree.
Please don't get me in trouble. Are you asking me whether or not you're hip?
Yes. And that's, the answer is yes. So you don't have to like spend any more time on it.
Come on, man.
I think my silence speaks for itself, right, Brandon? There you go.
That's just stupid. All right. Some love for fathers. Father's Day was yesterday. Thanks to my daughters. They reached out.
Good.
Chrissy came up. My youngest daughter came up with my granddaughter, grandson. We had a blast. It was chasing wiffle balls around the yard and soccer balls and
that's fun. I knew you were spending the day with family.
I said I knocked out 5 miles on my
smartwatch.
Yeah, like wow.
Okay,
5 miles.
Did you have yourself another hamburger or a brat just because you knocked out 5 miles?
I had an extra brat. I did.
I figured
I had once they left.
Yeah,
this guy had a nice ice cold Miller High Life and a nice big tall glass of Merlot.
Oh, good for you!
I celebrated. I got some cigars from my daughters as well. I didn't smoke any yesterday, but I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. I may smoke one or two then.
I would expect that you would. I'm going to say my bet's in that department. Yes. Well, Lou didn't Lou had to work. So we kind of had our Father's Day celebration on Saturday night when he got home from work. And then Liz made some homemade, she made her own sauerkraut and she made some pierogas for him yesterday.
Homemade.
Homemade sauerkraut, homemade pierogas, yeah.
A lot of cooking going on up there.
But, you know, I always laugh about Father's Day with Lou because, and I'm going to tell this story, and it's going to sound like I'm selling him out, and yeah, I probably am. So here's what happened. I went into labor while I was doing my other radio show. And so I ran home, and I gave him a call, and I said, hey, you know, you want to be here? I think you should get here, yada, 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 yada.
This is your first child?
This is with Elizabeth, yes. Okay. So he gets there. We get down to the West Allis Memorial where my doctor practiced out of. And so we're down there and they get me in and he looks at me and he goes, hey, looks like it's going to be a while. So I'm going to go home and take care of Elsa, which was our dog. Make sure she's okay, because if we're in it for the long haul, I want to make sure she's going to be fine. I'm like, fine, fine. You're hovering anyhow. So just get out of here.
Yeah, very thoughtful. Him.
So off he goes, and in the interim, this is before the advent of cell phones and stuff, right? Nobody had one.
A phone.
And so the doc comes in and he goes, something's wrong, we gotta figure it out. And they figured out that Liz had flipped and she was transverse breech and she's underneath my diaphragm and they need to go in and do an emergency C-section. Holy crap. Mm. So I'm calling and calling and calling and calling and calling. Lou's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And so finally I called a girlfriend and I go, can you get down here and help me? Because I'm not doing this by myself. So my doctor, they wheel me into the room. They strap you down so you can't move.
Well, you're having surgery, basically.
Yeah. So they strap you down.
Not basically, you are having surgery.
And the curtain's up and all of a sudden my OB walks in and he goes, he's here. I don't know where he's been, but he's got flowers. Okay. So Lou comes in.
Nice touch.
Right. So he comes in. I'm in labor, dude. So he comes in and he stands by my shoulder and he leans down to say something to me. And I turn and I look at him and I go, have you been drinking? He said, well, they said it was going to be a while. So I made myself a couple of cocktails and walked down the neighborhood telling everybody we're having a baby. And I went, are you kidding me? Then, to top it off, so they take Elizabeth out. Yeah, you got a baby girl. He walks around by where the OB is, and it's like he's a major league pitcher. I mean, a major league catcher. That's the stance he's got. I can see him past the curtain. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, this is amazing. You know, your uterus is on the left, completely out of your body and on the left side. And I went, if you can't put it back where it came from... you get away from the doctor.
Also, he's got like implements in his hand. Lou's doing the...
And so he came walking over. I said, you're in enough trouble. You've been drinking. You've had a couple of cocktails. And you left me here by myself.
All right. So let me defend Lou.
Oh, please.
Lou's a little bit older than you or I.
He's 75.
Okay.
Yes.
So of that era... That was the end of the women goes off, has the baby, guy just waits for the news, smokes a cigar with his buddies, has a drink.
Out in the waiting room.
That's how it went.
Right.
And probably right around that time, men younger than that said, hey, maybe we should be involved in this. And then women said, oh, maybe you should.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. That was the changing of the guard, really. So I'm not going to blame Lou for being old school, because that's what guys did. They smoked the cigars. They told their buddies they had a boy or girl, and they went on about their day. They probably golfed while the woman was in the hospital recovering.
Well, I will say with Alex, because Alex was way, way premature, and there were about 20 people in the room when he was born. I told Lou, I said, get out.
Yeah.
get out, because I cannot guarantee that you wouldn't don some scrubs and come in here with some instruments and pretend that you know what you're doing. No.
Yeah, I think we've actually gone too far the other way.
That we have. That
there's
we
like
have too
a
much
million people in the room and all that stuff. Now, I know everybody doesn't do that.
But, you know, but in all honesty, I kid because I love, but he's been the greatest dad. He's been the greatest dad to my kids. Alex and Elizabeth just adore him, and that's the way it should be.
See? Old school
mm-hmm.
wins the day.
I will never forget it, though. Your uterus is on the left side of your body. What?
That's a pretty graphic description.
What?
That you don't probably want to hear in that moment.
I'm still on the table.
Yeah.
He's trying to close me up. What?
Well, it all worked out.
That would be me, Donnie. Okay, I could put the gloves on.
All right, we're going to shift gears.
Okay.
Have you ever had a boss
that
just drove you? I have some boss stories. They weren't my boss, but I knew of them because I was a manager for a long time.
So bad boss stories?
Yeah, bad things you could never do now as a boss.
Oh, I got a couple of them.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be some good ones.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are off today for Juneteenth, so probably a good day to talk about your boss because you're not in the room with them or in the building.
Sure. Sure.
If you have a boss story, worst boss stories, 855-616-1620. I want to hear them on the old National Bank Talking Text Line. Quick break here on WTMJ.
People say, I am the best boss. They go, God, we've never worked in a place like this before. You're hilarious. And you get the best out of us. I think that pretty much sums it up.
From the office, Steve Carell. We can argue about whether he was that or not. It certainly was funny.
I never have watched The Office.
Seriously?
Hand to God, yes, never. Never.
So if I say the name Dwight Schrute, you wouldn't know who that is?
No, I know who it is. Oh, okay. I know who the characters are. Okay. I just never watched an episode.
Why is that?
I don't know. It never tripped my trigger. It's just not one.
You like the old love stories.
I either like dramatic horror or a rom-com.
Hmm.
I'm all in on the horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, you sent me one and I said, I watched it for 5 minutes. I go, this is not happening.
A smile.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Okay. I don't get creeped out. I love, somebody said to me, actually over the weekend, oh, I couldn't watch that. And I said, I love to be scared. I don't know why. It's always been that way. Since my mom thought I was going to be in a cult.
And before I forget, Aquarius with David Duchovny about the early days of the Manson story.
I know what I'm watching.
Netflix.
That's this afternoon.
I only seen the first two episodes. Brilliant.
Okay.
And it's not a new show. I think it was around like 2017, 2016.
It says 2015 on the
website.
Okay,
so older show, but I'm surprised it didn't get more buzz. It was on NBC originally, and I didn't watch it then. But it is good.
I'm gonna watch it this afternoon. I told you off the air I'm still hooked on From on MGM Plus.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
We're asking about boss stories. Here's a quick one from my many days as a manager in a private sector job, which I did for 28 years, retired from before I became mayor and before I became a radio host.
Yes.
All right. This boss in his home office, because we were remote workers, a group of field workers working in television across the country. On his shelf behind his chair of his desk, he had a shotgun shell with each employee's name on it on the back shelf.
Oh, my. Well, that's motivational. What?
Yeah. For years, had that.
What? Who does that? How in that does...
This is probably the 80s where there was less rules, less... I don't think a lot of places had HR people yet.
Yeah.
Not to the degree we have now.
I've had some interesting bosses in the fact of being a woman in a male-dominated broadcasting world that have done things that are inappropriate. But
can you talk about them?
Probably not. but the worst boss I ever had, worst beyond, was a woman. Because back in the day, I worked at a motel. I was a receptionist at a motel. I took some time off from school and I came back home and... And she was the manager of the office, and she sat in this back office, and literally, it was like, go get some sun, get outside. She was as pale, she looked corpse-like. She was so white and so, but she made my life a living hell, because I was a young girl who, as you can well imagine, very gregarious, made a lot of friends, da-da-da-da-da. She made me do the ugliest, dirtiest things you can possibly imagine that happened
in a motel.
In a motel.
Yikes.
And there was something we found in the snack machine in the drop area. She's like, somebody had relations and they dropped whatever into the, you can well, and she's like, Carol, you got to go get this thing out. And I'm like, come on, I'm 19 years old. Do I really need to do this?
And you, at the time, you looked like Princess Di.
You know, I did.
Did the hair and everything.
Oh, you know, yeah, I did have that kind of. I still get that every now and then.
Yeah.
Still.
From the 262, and you can join us on the old National Bank talk and text line 855-616-1620. Crazy boss stories. 262, I had a micromanaging boss who'd follow me into the bathroom. He was just like Bill Lumberg in the movie Office Space, which is a great movie, by the way.
That's a great movie. But the micromanaging is frustrating. You know, like one of the greatest bosses I ever had, Tom Jarrus, he let everybody, he's just like, you do whatever, and I'll just stand over here in the corner. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We'll try it. Just the best guy in the world. That's a great boss. The person that's breathing down your neck all the time, no.
I'm not into the micromanaging thing. I like to empower employees when I've been a manager to let them excel, let them.
Wasn't that the reason you hired them? That's my thing. Isn't that the reason you hired them?
Not everybody's wired that way. There are people who think, well, I mean, look at the classic example in politics, Trump, boss of everyone.
Well, yeah, he would be the ultimate micromanager.
Yeah. Producer Brandon, do you have a thought on this?
I'm not
your boss, but I'm a great boss.
I think you would be a good boss.
Yeah, see? I'm just soliciting praise now.
He's making me laugh today. Yeah. Not that you're not a great guy, you're a great guy.
Thank you for that.
I was a boss once, believe it or not.
Yeah, in the military?
I was.
Yeah. And how were you as a boss?
Excellent. Yeah. I shammed out of work as much as I could.
Your boss probably would not appreciate that, but your employees.
I was probably with my boss half the time, but you're right.
That's very funny.
Let's not go into too much detail because that is the U.S. military we're talking about there. But yeah, I hear you. Here's one from the 414. Had a boss when I asked for a raise that grabbed his pants by his crotch and said, "Nope, not today."
What?
I'm not sure the correlation there, but.
Was that basically, an FU kind of a thing?
Could be.
I don't know. That's weird. Hi.
Mary says, I agree with Carol. Female bosses can be the worst. I've had the same experience as you. I am also outgoing. It can make you a target for insecure women bosses.
I've had two female bosses, and they've both been nightmares. Nightmares. And I in a world today where you would think that women would want to empower and help women, not the case. I think that person's correct in the fact that, the one that I had a few years ago, oh my God, I can't even say what I think about her. Really, I can't.
From the 920, Steve, my boss had Farrah Fawcett's famous poster hanging in his office.
Oh, come on.
You could never do that now.
Oh, no.
No, but you could do it back then.
When was that? The 70s?
Well, it doesn't say.
The poster came out in 1976.
Yeah, so my high school era, which everybody had the poster, trust me.
Okay.
If you walk, here's the thing that people don't understand. If you walked into a gas station, more often than not, if you ventured past the place where you pay at the register, there's probably Playboys, posters. That was the world of gas stations back then. It was much different.
You want to know something? My dad had those magazines at his store, but it was in, you had to ask for them. They were behind the counter. But you had to come in and ask. And actually, we were directed to go and have whoever was asking for the magazine to go and talk to one of the male pharmacists. Because we were young girls and my dad didn't want us exposed to that. But he did have those magazines.
From the 414, about 10 years ago, I had the owner of the company actually give me a pinch test on the back of my arm to let me know I was overweight.
You'd never get away with that today.
10 years ago. Even that's surprising.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, you do that now, you're gone.
That's lawsuit quality right there. I even had to at my first radio gig. But the direct boss was kind of a dip, but the general manager was a nice guy. But because I was just starting out and I was really new to the radio business, like I worked second shift and they asked me, I cleaned the bathrooms. Not that I wanted to.
The worst job in the world, cleaning the bathrooms of a gas station, I would think.
Oh, my God. I don't think I could get through it without gagging.
I would not last 30 seconds on that job.
No.
Like, not for me.
No.
I'll get something else. I'll see myself out. We're going to be late. We're going to take a break. We'll get to the bottom of the hour news. And then, Who knows what we're going to talk about on this Juneteenth day? Stephen Carroll on WTMJ.
Stick around. More of Stephen Carroll are next on WTMJ.
When you hear that music, you know what's coming next. Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, host of Money Talker on Saturday mornings on WTMJ. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. Hello, guys. How are we today?
We are good on this beautiful weather day, also Juneteenth day, so there's a parade ongoing in Milwaukee. But I'm going to ask you right out of the gate here, because I saw the Axiom newsletter, the great piece you guys put out every week, and the question is a significant one. And I'm not sure I know you've talked about this before. Did we avoid a recession, Dave Spano?
Well, we don't know yet, right? But I did talk about it over the weekend in the fact that the economy continues to have positive growth. And, of course, we've all recognized that the definition of a recession are back-to-back quarters of negative growth, which we have not had. We had it, of course, a couple of years ago, almost a year and a half ago, I should say, where we had back-to-back quarters of negative GDP, but the arbiter who calls it a recession did not call that one a recession because of employment continued to be strong. So we didn't have declining employment. So that they did not call that a recession. I would have called it a recession. And now we go into the second half of the year, continue to have positive GDP. So will we avoid a recession is really the question, or did they just kick the can down the road tonight to 2024?
Let me ask you, so if we're trying to figure that out, give me the quick pros cons on that argument either way.
Well, of course, there's a lot of cons, that you don't want to have a recession. The economy retracts, people's portfolios retract, people lose jobs. There's a lot of negativity, of course, to the recession. There is a few positives, of course, and would be slowing down the economy, would be slowing down inflation. And, of course, the Fed is really in a predicament because they look at, how things are going. Wage growth continues to go up. People still need quality employees, so wages have been going up and keeping a strong employment market in place. Of course, we look at, things like eggs and other, and travel. So there are still things that are going up and creating inflation. And you can argue that overall we still have a 5% inflation number, which is way above the Fed's 2% target. That's the predicament, because if they continue, now they took a pause, as we all know, the last week and not raising interest rates in that meeting. They did not tell us what they're going to do in July. But if they go back to a rate hiking regime, that could cause serious issues because of where the interest rates are now, causing a deeper recession that could happen down the road, Steve. And right now we don't know. We're watching it carefully. We're watching to see where employment goes, and we're watching to see what happens with interest rates.
That you know what? You just took my question, dude. I was going to ask you about interest rate hikes. But second, so we already answered that question. So let's just move on.
So who's the dude in this? Me? Am I the dude or yeah. Steve?
You're
the dude.
No, you are. Right, you are.
I am the dude. If I'm not the dude, I know the dude.
And you know what? You're a hip dude. There.
All right, now she's just being mean to me because I said I was hip before and she disagreed.
So unlike Steve's not hip. Listen, he has tomatoes, man. I think that's hip.
There you go.
I grow the tomatoes.
Okay, so let's jump to the U.S.-China relations situation. Now, how is that going to affect what's going to happen here?
Well, the second biggest economy in the world, and, there is so much going on. The biggest concern right now is not only the fact that they're expanding around the world. You read the story last week in the Wall Street Journal where they're trying to do some things with Cuba to spy on the U.S. I mean, that is obviously an issue. But then, again, you look at the immediate concern, and they're watching what's happening with Ukraine and Russia to see if they're going to move into Taiwan. And so if that happens, it could be a military escalation. Nobody wants that. Hopefully we can de-escalate that situation. But if it goes bad, Carol, it won't be good for anybody, including our economy, because we do a lot of trade with them as well. So just think about the war, potential war, an economy declining. I mean, there's not a lot of positives coming out of that.
Dave Spano joining us as he does every Monday at 10:35. Also the host of Money Talk, heard Saturday mornings here on WTMJ. So what else is going on? Summers can be a time where everybody kind of steps away, relaxes, and all that stuff. I know the folks who do it for a living, like Annex, you're always focused on making the right decisions for your customers, your clients, and investors. So what are we looking at for the summer?
So let's talk about where we are today. Obviously, the markets are closed for the holiday today. So, you know, as you go into the summer and you go into the July 4th, obviously that's the mid part of the year. It is a good time, just think about it as a halftime, to go back into the locker room and say, what did we do well in the first half and where do we need to be better? And so that was really a softball that you threw me, Steve. You certainly go through and say, what can we do in the second half of the year? A lot of people set it and forget it. And they just don't look at their portfolio, but go through and start to clean up. And that's what we're trying to do with our clients right now. Should we rebalance? Should we reevaluate, for example, your tolerance for risk? Should we go make sure that if you're new to Annex, that you're not loaded up with all of these high-cost products that we continue to see and continue to have people sold those high-cost products? Take a look at those things. But more importantly, are you ready for retirement? When that time comes, will you be able to replace your paycheck? You know, what are the strategies in retirement? What are you going to do? You know, is it tax advantaged? All of this stuff, Steve, is really the time to do that. So as you go through and you say you're going to have a barbecue and have a cocktail and maybe go on a boat and do all those things, remember the second half of the year could get pretty bumpy because the Federal Reserve specifically is trying to slow the economy down on purpose, folks. And so that is going to be some bumpy waters coming into the second half of 23. And then as we go into 24, you know, everyone, I'm sure, is really excited about a potential presidential election and everything that comes with that. So, you know, that could be disruptive as well. So there's a lot of things that are coming down the road. And, you know, who knows who we're going to be the nominees are, but it's going to be a lot of news. A lot of news cycles, probably an opportunity to upset the market, but then an opportunity, of course, to rebalance your portfolio.
A couple of people asked this question in a couple of different ways, but I want to put it this way. Have we, our response, the Fed response, investors, the Annexes of the world, have we gotten better, smarter in how we react to these downturns so that we can, in some ways, safeguard our assets? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is yes, right?
Yeah. I think there's no question. I think there's the disclosure of information, not only from the Federal Reserve. Now, you know, I've not been a big fan of what they did. They were too loose with the policy for too long. That caused a big part of where we are right now. And now there's potential that they're making another mistake if they continue to have rate hikes into the second half of the year. So I haven't been a fan, but I will tell you this. They have been excellent on telling us what they're going to do, to being transparent, and then, of course, following through on that. They haven't shocked the market at all. So that's number one. So that is new. I mean, you can go back 20 or 30 years ago. I remember that the only way that we knew it was going to happen was the size of the briefcase that went into the Federal Reserve. So that's new. So they're really good at telling us what they're going to do. That's number one. Number two, I think there's so much information out there, not only, you know, shows like ours and the opportunity to come on and talk to your listeners, but around everything else, CNBC and the internet and right down the road, people have access to a lot of information, so they have so they shouldn't overreact to these things. So yeah, for sure, Steve, I totally agree. The Fed has been better, and I think the financial advising world has been better at being able to be transparent with the information. So that makes people take your time, go through the process, and make sure that you're not overreacting.
Yeah, best place to do that. AnnexWealth.com. Dave Spano joins us every Monday. I always appreciate your wisdom, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, you guys. Yeah, nice talking to both of you. We'll enjoy the weather. Summerfest this week starting off. And,
yes.
Maybe you guys are talking about, but a lot of great shows coming up, and hopefully everybody can enjoy that as well.
And they got plenty of free-flowing beverages down there, which I always enjoy. And great food. All right, thank you, Dave Spano.
All right, see you guys.
We'll take a break. Lots more to get to. Still reading some boss stories on the Old National Bank Talking Text Line. We'll bring a few of those back after this on WTMJ. A little boss on a Monday. Stephen Carroll is Monday, Juneteenth. Parade's still going on. I'm watching on TMJ4 locally here.
You know what? They got a great turnout. That's good.
And a nice day. I mean, this weather this
couldn't
week.
Couldn't ask for any better.
I didn't even mention this. So I have both tomato plants that I planted and some that I got from a greenhouse.
I saw you were posting a red tomato.
Yes. It is now picked and will be consumed in the next day or two.
Oh, delicious.
Thanks
to
my friends at Tihan's Nursery on Rosson Avenue in Oak Creek, also partners of WTMJ.
Well, I've got... The Thiensville Market is going to be opening up very soon. So I'll, it opens tomorrow, actually. So I'll have a little venue for some fresh grown stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, and my plants that I planted 3 weeks ago are doing, they're tripled in size, starting to flower, which is good. The interesting thing is, last year I had a greenhouse plant as well. The first red tomato, July 4th.
Okay.
So we are, what is it? June 19th.
It's the 19th, yeah. So
Two weeks early.
Yeah, you're a couple weeks ahead.
That's, I think it's the sun, the warm weather.
I wouldn't say no to that. And it's probably, I mean, outside of the fact that we're in the middle of a drought and you have to carry that water for your tomato plants, it probably, they're, no wonder they're flourishing. Like you said, with the heat and the sun.
Yeah, the good thing is we got almost an inch of rain last week, so I watered yesterday. That'll be good till like Wednesday or Thursday. So thankfully that daily burden is lifted. But yeah, it's a welcome relief. All right, so I got some boss stories. I've got another break to take here. Best boss I had, this is from the 9-2. A best boss was an old-timer, third shift foreman. He didn't care how the work got done as long as it got done and done right. I was working a swing shift job and only had him 1 week out of four. The first thing he told me was that one of the benefits of third shift was you get to take a nap.
There you go.
As long as you didn't do it out in the open so he could find you.
That's an honest guy. Well, I think that those best bosses are the ones that if they hire the right people, they don't have to worry about them. Let them do their job.
That's how you get future bosses, by hiring the right people.
Right, right.
From the 414, I had a boss who directed me to violate an environmental regulation. Consequences could have been termination, fine, and or prison. I refused, but it was not pleasant. That is a bad boss. That is a bad boss. Yes.
You know, I told you this story off the air, and I'm not going to go into great detail right now, but I had a boss that put the moves on me. He was a married guy, and he had kids, and I was just 19 years old, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, if I had been remotely litigious, I would have owned that broadcasting company.
Well, you and I were talking about this before. The rise of HR departments, that's a relatively recent phenomena.
Oh, sure.
I told you, you know, one of the places I worked, we didn't even have an HR person, which always blew my mind.
Yeah, we didn't either. So I, after this incident that happened to me, I remember I went into work on Monday and I was like, you know, you got some stones, Carol, because I walked in, closed the door and said, that was inappropriate. You will never do that to me ever again. At 19.
Look at you standing up. Oh, Princess Diet.
But I mean, I didn't have HR to go to.
Jim from Fond du Lac, I had a manager at a restaurant who would ask why something happened, and we would say, well, I thought, and he would always say, you don't get paid to think. It came back to bite him when he asked us, what were you guys thinking? And we told him, we don't get paid to think. He never said it to us again. Clever. See, they were smart.
Yeah, that's very, yeah.
They threw it right back at him.
Sure.
Jeff, about a year ago, my daughter had to take my granddaughter to Children's Hospital in Milwaukee for a follow-up appointment and needed a ride there. I told my boss I needed to leave work early so I could take them. He told me to have her take Uber from Union Grove to Milwaukee. I said, yeah, right, and left.
There's a compassion guy, huh?
Yeah, right? For the 920, my husband and I are both teachers. One of our favorite horrible boss moments was when asking for a raise. My husband was told by the head of HR to get a second job or a roommate to save money. That used to be a very common response from people that made those decisions.
Yeah.
All which you can't get away with anymore.
Right. I mean, I was even reading stories about people, they were talking about their bad bosses and how they were supposed to put off putting their dog down and come into work. It's like, come on. This is a sad enough situation. Really? My dog is suffering and you're going to make me go to work? It's not going to take long. I'll come after the deed is done.
I thought of you the other day. I was talking to somebody and they're complaining about the long lines at the pharmacy. I said, oh, you know why those lines are so long? Because they're filling pet prescriptions. That's why they're so long.
Man, you just will not let that go.
Oh, not that one.
You
nope.
will not let nope. that go. You're like a pit bull that's gotten into a piece of meat and is just not going to let it go.
Nope. Nope. Separate line for that. Yes. Pet line over there. And you can wait an hour in that line while the rest of us just get our stuff.
Well, I go through 1-800-PET-MEDS.
There you go. So you figured it out.
Well, it's cheaper, and they always have a coupon. Yeah. Listen to me. I'm from Wisconsin. I need the coupon. Yeah.
That's another thing. Coupons, why are we paper coupons, why are we still doing that?
I'm not going to download the app on
Come
my
on.
Phone.
Paper coupons should have went away 10 years ago.
I'm not downloading.
If I ruled the world, they would have went away 10 years ago. Trust me.
Okay, I'll let you have that one.
All right. Fine. Makes good sense, doesn't it?
No.
Quick break on WTMJ. A lot of people beating me up, Carol, on the coupon thing. My wife even still does that.
Yeah.
No. No more pay. I just had this conversation with a teammate on Friday. I print one piece of paper now. Everything else is either in my brain or on my screens. There's no reason to print all this paper anymore.
Yeah. Okay, but Steve, how are people supposed to save money then on their groceries and things like that if they can't use a paper coupon?
Digital coupons. Anything that's currently done with paper needs to be in digital.
But here's the thing.
Here's my phone. Boom.
Okay. Have you ever watched Extreme Couponing? You should.
Of course not. I can't believe you asked me that question. Yeah, I spent an hour watching Extreme Couponing.
I think it's fascinating. But the thing is that you can't argue. And I, from experience, I stood behind a woman who was arguing for a dollar on a potato chip bag because the app on her phone said something different than what the machine at the store was ringing up. She made such a scene. And I'm standing there with my... You can't argue with what the coupon says, the paper
Who
coupon.
Who says?
It says right there, 75 cents off of two. Right there.
Unless it's Old Dutch potato chips, I'm not arguing for a dollar. Old Dutch, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the best chip. Okay. America's best chip.
No, I'm disagreeing with you.
Trust me on that. Old Dutch, best chips. I don't care Frito-Lay, Lay's...
I brought them in for you.
Yes.
I did bring some in for you.
And then we got a lovely gift from Old Dutch, which was very much appreciated. You weren't here that day.
I didn't get any of that,
no,
love.
You did.
It was delicious.
It was amazing.
Well, I know where I stand.
Well, you weren't here that day.
I don't care. Put some away.
I thought we did. I thought we did some away.
No.
Oh, you know what happened? We tucked them away, and then we found them like 3 months later.
Tucked them away in my backpack and took them home. Yes. Onion and garlic for days.
Onion and garlic. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Carol. They're the best.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't part of the package.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It was a snafu.
God.
A snafu in the saving process.
You know, I come here to escape how my family treats me.
All right.
And you guys are beating me up.
All right, we're going to escape. We have a great story after the break about a landlord who I think has way too much power. We'll get to that one. In veganism and landlording.
Okay.
I'm not linking those two things, but I'm going to. The news is next.
The biggest issues. The biggest stories. The biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue. It's Monday with Steve and Carol.
Indeed it is on this Juneteenth day, commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. There's parades still ongoing, 2 hours plus, on the streets of Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a... The Christmas parade went 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a big. I mean,
that's
still,
a big parade.
Still have groups coming through. 52nd annual Juneteenth Day Parade and celebrations carried live. If you're interested on TMJ4 in Milwaukee, our partners. Carol, on this next story.
Yeah,
I read the headline. I go, this is not right. This cannot be right.
Okay, so it's so outrageous. You don't believe that it's real?
Yeah, it's more the subhead. But here's what it's New York Times. This $5,750 a month Brooklyn apartment has a smell test. Subhead.
It had a price test, if you ask
me. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. New Yorkers are used to finding quirky situations when apartment hunting, but a ban on cooking meat and fish in the building might be a new one. Are you kidding me?
It doesn't. It seems weird to me, because how do you put the kibosh on that? Because there are so many loopholes that you can jump through to get it. Okay. What she's going, so it's vegan. She wants everybody to be vegan?
Yeah, because the landlords are vegan. They've been doing this since 2007. And they're basically, the language is no meat and or fish in the building. Now, some of the renters have said they've ordered in food, so I'm not sure how that works. But according to the city of New York, there's a city's human rights law.
Okay.
It allows landlords to consider these 14 characteristics, and I'm not going to read them all, but age, race, family status, job, source of income, sexual orientation. There's no language in there that talks about what you eat or the smell of meats or fish cooking. But unless it's specifically forbidden in that human rights law, apparently it's okay and it's legal. I'm like, I'm not having that.
It just, I suppose if it's... I move in
just to cook the fish all the time and make them smell it.
Okay. One, I suppose if it's in your, if it's your place and you own the building, I suppose you can dictate a little bit, but I will tell you this, that at $6,000 a pop a month, I'm cooking whatever I damn well please.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing in a bucket of chicken that's going to stink up the entire joint.
The owner, Michael Aria Lehrer, refused to speak to a reporter, and Ms. Kelly and her employers at Douglas Elliman declined to comment. But Ms. Lehrer's ex-husband, who co-owns the building and is also a vegan, what is going on with people? So they both refused to rent to carnivores. Carnivores.
That makes us sound like cavemen.
Yeah, exactly, right? Since buying the house in 2007, the ex-husband, Madi, says it's not about discrimination. You have to fit into the building. That's not the way it works. There's no fitting into the building.
I'm going to only fit into the building if I'm vegan?
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't care if people want to be vegan.
Sure.
Knock yourself out. But if I don't want to be, I have a right to live in an apartment building.
Then I guess we got to find a different apartment building. Because I wouldn't even make an appointment to go and see one of these apartments at all. It's their one bedrooms, and they've got a kitchen. For $4,500 to $5,750 a month, no.
I'm going
to
eat whatever I want. I'm going to lie about it and say, yeah, I'm not going to cook those. And I'm going to move in, and then I'm going to cook it every night.
So
I'm going to poke them in the eye.
You stick by your guns. Now, what's to stop? Now, here's another little loophole. Now, we already know we can bring food in. So I can bring in my Jersey Mike sub with all the ham and capicola and all that kind of stuff. And then I can bring in a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
But what's to stop me from having a Weber? Look, I'm talking with my hands like crazy. What's to stop me from parking a Weber outside the building and cooking up a couple of chicken legs?
Yeah.
It's not in the building.
Where's the enforcement? Were they going to kick you out? So what if they knock on the door? Hey, what are you cooking here? Vegetables. Get out of here. No, it doesn't. It smells like no. It's vegetables. It's asparagus. Stop knocking on my door. No.
But don't some of those? I'd have to talk to a vegan. Maybe somebody will write in. But don't some of the alternative like meats have like a smell that would also?
Of course. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Some of these vegans now. Eating something that resembles meat is also bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how crazy this stuff's getting. If it looks like a hamburger, why would I eat that? Why would I simulate something that I don't eat normally?
Because I can.
Oh, I don't know, because it tastes good and you can eat a hamburger? How about that?
I can only eat so many nuts. Seriously.
Lettuce, nuts, beans, legumes.
That's funny. We both went the same time. I just... it just doesn't make any sense to me. And once again, if you want to be a vegan, that's great. I just know that I could not follow that lifestyle. And the apartment could look like the Taj Mahal. And I had that kind of jack. But I'm not going for that lifestyle, even for that kind of an apartment, because of that one, there's got to be another one that exists someplace else. And it's Brooklyn. Come on, you're in Brooklyn.
I've been to New York City a bunch of times.
Yeah, I've been to Brooklyn, too.
I'm not paying $5,750 for an apartment in a building where I can't cook meat or fish.
I do, once again, wonder if you put the Weber outside.
How do they enforce this?
What, are they going to come and just fling your chicken legs over the fence?
Let's play it out. So after the knocks, it's asparagus. Go away. Then the police come. Please open your door. Please open your door. Are you cooking meat and fish? And I go, yeah.
Don't they have better things to worry about in New York City?
Of course they do. And the cop's going to go,
what's
wrong?
What's
wrong here? He's cooking a burger on his grill. What are you bothering him for? I'm a vegan. So he goes to the lady. Who cares? He's not. Enjoy the burger. Get out of here.
There must be some kind of, you must have to sign off on it in the contract.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously, you must have to sign on to it. There must be some like legal ramifications if you break the contract.
It's not in the story.
I'm just going to say this. Life without prime rib or a good hamburger is a sad life. I'm sad if I can't have. Now, don't write if you're a vegan. That's just Carol talking. I love hamburgers and I love prime rib, and I would be sad if it was taken away from me.
How about this? What if are we going to have carnivore apartment buildings where you can only eat meat? No, no vegans. Vegans need. You think that would be a lawsuit? I think it would be. Vegans need not apply. How about that?
Well, that would be one I would check out. The carnivore one. Yeah. And I understand. Listen, I know I eat too much meat.
Meat sweats Friday. Everybody cooks a big steak on their grill. We're all meat sweating.
At this particular juncture, I've probably eaten a farm. You know what I mean? I've got between the chickens and the pigs and the cows.
Now I'm going to get all these letters that say, why are you so hard on vegans? Because of stuff like this. Because of stuff like you can't eat something because it resembles the thing you don't eat. That's just dumb.
I would love for somebody.
I'm tired of vegans. Let me just say, I'm tired of them. They're nonsense.
Well, I'm not quite there because I would love for somebody to make a vegan meal and bring it to me so I could really taste. Now, I understand there's a place out in Brookfield that's vegan that's supposed to be delicious. I don't know, but.
Do they accept regular customers like meat eaters, or do they have to stay outside while the vegans eat? Carnivores need not come in.
There's a fence outside, and you get to look in the windows and watch
people
eat.
Stare at them eating asparagus and leaf lettuce. 855-616-1620. I say I'm right on this. This is discriminatory. It should not happen. I don't care if it's New York City, whatever. It should not happen in America.
Well, does stuff like this cross over to pot smokers and regular smokers and stuff like that? Can you demand that they don't do that in your building?
How many of those vegans you think are puffing a joint every day? Probably a lot of them. Trying to get over the fact that they're not satisfied by the leaf lettuce they have to consume in high amounts of.
I don't really want to get on your train right now.
Somebody says I'm passive aggressive. Well, so be it. I think I'm right. Let's take a quick break here in WTMJ. Apparently, I've angered all the vegans out there. Listen, I'm sure they're nice people.
Well, here's the thing. This is a situation where we are ignorant to the fact. I will say I am ignorant to the fact of I don't know what they eat. I've never had one, but I looked this up and it says, what foods make up a vegan diet? Vegan diets are made up of only plant-based foods. The type of diet includes fruits, vegetables, soy, legumes, nuts, nut butters, plant-based dairy alternatives. This is where I take issue. Sprouted or fermented plant foods and whole grain. You cannot tell me that stinky tofu smells worse. And that's the thing. That stinky tofu is an actual thing. Mm-hmm. It's fermented tofu.
That's okay, though.
Smells worse than a piece of fish. Vegan diets do not include animal foods like eggs, dairy, meat, poultry, or seafood. They're also devoid of animal byproducts, so they don't drink or eat honey made from bees and lesser known animal based like whey, lactose, egg white, albumin, gelatin. It's just, and just somebody please educate me. Isn't that expensive? I would think that stuff would be really expensive.
My only point with this is you can do whatever you want, but don't criticize those who don't want to do what you do. And to have an apartment building in the largest city in the country, which basically discriminates, my word, because it's not legally discrimination yet, against people that like to consume meat or fish, it seems a little bit far-fetched in my mind.
Well, and I'm sure there probably are some health issues that are involved and the fact that you decided to be vegan maybe, but it's not for me. It's just not for me.
But you would never think of throwing a vegan out of your house because they're vegans. No, of course not.
No, to tell you the truth, if I had somebody that came to my house and was a vegan,
you would respect that.
I would respect and probably go out of my way to make sure that they had stuff that was for their dietary concerns.
As would I.
Right.
And I've had people over to the house and we've made a dish for them or whatever. That's the respectable thing. So all of a sudden, vegans can't honor that pact. They have to like say, no, you're excluded from our world. We don't like to smell. What if I don't want to smell asparagus cooking on your grill at 2 a.m.?
It's odd to me for sure. It really is odd to me for sure, especially when you are asking them to pay that kind of money for an apartment. For a one-bedroom apartment, you want $5,750 a month? Oh, man.
That's insane, first off. I know it's New York City, but come on.
Well, it's, yeah. That alone would stop me from moving into that area. That's why I like where I live. You know, that's way more than I pay for my mortgage for my house. It's like five times what I pay for the mortgage of my house. It's crazy.
So one of the couples that came to view this place said, well, that's okay. We'll just order in. So apparently there is some sort of a loophole, but you said it right. And a texter asked, what if you reheat your meat? You put it in the old microwave.
There's so many loopholes that can, and I don't. I'm with you in the fact that I don't know how they enforce this, because if you call the cops,
they're gonna
laugh you off the face of the earth.
They're gonna say, "Stop wasting our time, vegan."
Well, if this is your lifestyle and this is how you feel and you feel healthier and great, knock yourself out. But this just seems wrong that you can exclude the rest of the world because they don't follow your guidelines.
Of course it is. It's discriminatory.
I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. And like I said,
I'm being tolerant of vegans. They're not being tolerant of carnivores. And they're labeling us as carnivores, first off. Come on.
Well, that's kind of a slap in the face.
You mean
too.
Like how people ate since the beginning of the man roaming earth?
Yeah. I'm not walking around in a woolly mammoth onesie sitting in front of a campfire with a big buffalo leg.
I find vegans generally be less than tolerant people anyway. And that's an overstatement and a stereotype, but I just find that the ones I know.
They're
judgmental, just like me.
I think overall we've gotten so judgmental of everything and everybody. It's just like, calm down, okay? Let's just not get so carried away with how nitpicking on everybody else's little picadillos over what you, because you're weird too.
Okay, so this is weird times 10. Good morning. I went to Skechers shoe store and they have vegan shoes. What?
You want to know something? I think that Stans might have something like that too.
So no animal products in the shoe, basically is what it is. No leather.
No leather. So what is it? What do they make them out? Oh, I know. They make them out of hemp. I'll put 90%, because these people in that article, too, they said that most of these people will go for hemp-based clothing, shoes, and hemp-based stuff that's for, like, furniture and stuff.
I think they do that with makeup, too. The no testing on animals.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But, and I'm not an... I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there. But, I just think that's probably what they do, is all hemp-based stuff.
Hmm. I learned something today, that you can discriminate against meat eaters if you're a vegan. To me, that doesn't seem right, but I'm not the owner of the building.
You're not the owner of the building, and you're not a vegan, and so, of course, we don't understand, we don't get it, but at least I think we're being pretty honest in the fact of saying, I don't get it.
Yeah, and as a texter says very well, it's more bacon for the rest of us. Celebrate that bacon. I agree.
I'm actually thinking, to tell you the truth, since I've got something to watch on Netflix when I get home, I have some Bloody Mary mix and I have some leftover bacon from the weekend. I may put some bacon in my Bloody Mary.
There you
just
go.
Just sit outside for a little bit.
As a stir stick. Make it crispy and stir stick that thing.
That's the thing.
Are any angry vegans out there you want to dial up 855-616-1620?
Educate me.
Educate us. Yeah. Or angry. That's after this break. And then we got the news coming up as well with Connie Weber. All right, we've talked about this a lot, Carol, about dress codes. I'm a huge fan. And behavior codes while we're at it. Because people have treated it like a city bus, and I've had enough of it, and I don't want to smell you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to have to get deviated from my route because you're acting like a child on a plane or worse, violence. So I think this is a good first step. And I think when you're talking about a dress code for flying, some of this is already in place. American Airlines. And it's a code of conduct more than a dress code. But it does mention dress. No bare feet. Which is an actual thing on American Airlines. No bare feet. Knock it off with the bare feet.
Well, yeah. I don't know why in the world you would want to. Once again, we've made it clear that they do the best to try and clean their plane when they're making their transfer. But You can't scrub those floors every single time, and I'm not going
this
into...
It's disgusting.
Could you imagine going into the bathroom on a jumbo jet, barefooted?
I saw someone do this on an international flight. You have to be kidding me. Are you serious? Yes. Delta, no conduct, attire, hygiene, or odor can create an unreasonable risk of offense or annoyance to other passengers. Also, no bare feet. Southwest doesn't allow anyone on the plane who wears clothes that are lewd, obscene, or patently offensive. Bare feet are also not allowed unless you're under 5 years old, which I'm fine with.
Right.
Or have a disability.
But I don't want, my little kid walking around barefooted. But there's so much comfort stuff that you can find to put on the feet.
Yeah, most parents would put sandals on their kid. But again, not everybody's a genius. Let's just start with that. But here's why I mentioned these specifics.
Yeah.
Because like everything else in our society, our culture, community, the rules kind of get scrubbed away, just fade away. Like, I'll do what I want. Thanks for reminding me, but I'll do my own thing.
Well, and you know, I understand wanting to be comfortable. I always want to be comfortable on a plane too. Unless I was traveling for business, then I would make sure that I was presentable because I usually had listeners with me. But I'm not schlubbing in with my fuzzy slippers and my, you know, Hot Topic sleep pants.
Yeah, no pajamas, no slippers.
No, I don't understand why it's so difficult. I would even go so far as to saying, you want to wear some scrub pants on? I'm fine. If that's the deal.
Yeah, as long as they're clean.
Right. I don't know. Whatever happened to being presentable? I always just think.
Because everyone's train of thought now in this country of complainers is, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me when to show up for work. You can't tell me how to act at work. You can't tell me how to dress for work. And just apply that to planes.
God, how did I miss that phase?
Right?
I'm too structured. I really am. I think sometimes there's something wrong with me because I follow the rules so stringently, maybe to a fault.
So they talked in the article that we're referencing, it's usatoday.com, and the headline is "Leave the Sweatpants at Home, Why We Need a Dress Code for Flying," written by Christopher Elliott. I scrolled down a bit, and they talked to a pilot, and this is interesting. So the pilot is, I'm not sure what airline, but it's Ken Schulte. Two reasons why we need a more formal dress code. Well-dressed people never cause drama on a flight. This is from the pilot of the plane.
Okay. I'm not going to.
Second.
Yeah.
Well-dressed passengers get treated better. So your dress can actually influence how you're treated, which would probably make you a happier flyer. So you're not.
Boy, I never even really thought
of that. I didn't
either.
That's why I think this is a great story. Here's another one. Better dressed, polite passengers get more upgrades, freebies, and respect from the cabin crew. How about that?
Well, I will say, and I'm just because I am who I am, whenever I walk into a plane, I'm sure you're probably like that, and they're standing there and they're greeting you. Mm-hmm. I always look in the cockpit and say, not too fast, guys. Thank you very much. And then thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Get me to my destination safe. And boom, they're like, yeah, hey, no problem.
As someone who used to fly nearly every week in the private sector for probably 20 years, I was on a lot of planes.
Yeah, you were.
And I wasn't flying first class. I was in coach.
Okay.
Or whatever that general seating, whatever it is now.
With the regular people?
With the regular people. A couple times I got first class, but that was luck more than anything else. And here's what I learned. If you're respectful, polite, generous with the people around you on the plane or the people working, flight attendants, pilots, they will respect you back.
You know, in addition, I would like more airlines. This goes outside of the dress code thing. I want more airlines to refuse embarking on a plane if it's visibly clear that you've been sitting at the bar for a while.
Yeah.
I have no problem with them looking at you. And when I did fly, there's nothing I like better when I'm starting a vacation to sit at the bar and have a Bloody Mary or a screwdriver or something and just, my vacation's starting. Great. But that's where it ends. That's where it ends. But, you know, some of these people just sit there for an hour, 2 hours, and just get soused. And I don't want them on my plane because the probability of an actual interaction between them and the flight attendant is pretty high.
I mean, as part of the prep for this little story, I've been looking at videos of people misbehaving on planes. And some of the things they get cranked up about are worthy of a 10-second conversation.
I know.
Stop doing that.
Right.
But instead, it escalates where people are standing up on a plane, you know, screaming across the skies at 500 miles an hour or higher, screaming at, pushing each other, fighting each other.
Right.
And you've got, what, four flight attendants? They're supposed to wrangle this situation and resolve it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. It really is crazy. And some of the stuff that they, and what am I getting arrested for? Didn't we have that story where some guy was making a big scene and all of a sudden when they finally came in, when they landed, what am I getting arrested for?
Yeah.
Really?
He had no idea. Even though everybody else
did. You're an idiot.
855-616-1620. I'm all in on this. And if we can clean up the act, which it is, an act, of people who think this is their bathroom versus a plane that we're all flying to a destination that we're all going to the same place, and act like a responsible flyer, I think this is more than appropriate. And you can disagree, and we'd love to hear from you. 855-616-1620. Quick break here on WTMJ. I always try to give the alternate response, questioning, feedback. This is from Jim. Dress codes are imperfect. Dress codes have been used to discriminate by imposing standards that favor certain groups or perpetuate stereotypes. They can target marginalized communities, enforce gender norms, and hinder personal expression, leading to unequal treatment and exclusion based on appearance or cultural practices. That's like right out of a book. But I get it.
Okay.
But if it's the same standard, here's where people fall down. If it's the same standard implemented fairly to all people, then it's not discriminatory. If you're picking out one group over another group, then that's discriminatory. And
right.
that is not fair.
Right, right.
That's the
okay.
standard.
Yeah.
It's a high standard, but you have to meet that. But all I'm saying is listen to the experts, the pilots, airline industry experts, who say this goes a long way to making our planes safer.
That's... I got to listen to them. It's like anything else. I once again, even when they're given the instructions and showing me where the lights are and the exit rows and stuff like that, or if it's on an international flight and the screen pops up, I'm looking at it. I'm making sure I know where I got to go in case we are in a crisis situation. And that person up there, those two people wearing the same uniform, they're going to help me get down.
Michael on the Old National Bank talking text line. This is a common thing I've seen on planes. There was a young woman boarding in front of us wearing a bikini with a sheer cover-up and flip-flops. It looked like the only thing she was carrying was a phone, which she had her boarding pass on. She didn't have any carry-on, nothing at all. A bikini.
No. 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 I don't care if you're coming from the equator and it's hotter than the fires of you-know-what. No, put something on over your bikini. And she would argue the fact that it was this little mesh cover-up. Put a pair of pants on over your, and put a shirt on. You're fine. The fact that you've got, that's a woman who wants everybody to see her goods. That's exactly what it is.
I'm glad you said that.
I'm telling the truth. That's a woman who wants to strut her stuff.
So every time we have this dress code conversation, it's always the pushback is discriminatory and or, I'm going to do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. The simple fact is when you're on a plane or in a school or in a business or in a restaurant, they can make the rules. They can refuse to seat you if they have valid reasons to do so.
Right.
Behavior, dress, conduct.
Okay, I have no problem with that.
This isn't controversial. We've kind of faded all these things out of so where people can just show up. I was at a nice restaurant on Friday night.
Yeah. What'd you say?
People that are dressed far too casually for me. I don't like that. I think it disrespects the place you're going to.
If I'm going to a nice restaurant, I don't want the guy next to me thinking he's an NBA player. You're not, okay?
Yeah.
You know, you got the jersey, the shorts, the socks, the shoes. I trust me, you're 5'6". You're not playing in the NBA. Put something on.
Don't show up at church. Don't show up at a restaurant. Don't show up at school. And don't fly on a plane if you look like you're going to work out. Or you have just worked out.
I don't mind like decent workout pants or yoga pants or something like that with tennis shoes and a decent top. I don't mind that at all. I don't want the pajama pants. I don't want the fuzzy slippers. And I don't certainly want somebody in a bikini sitting next to me.
Well, maybe. But so somebody asked, what are you wearing? I've got dress pants and a Packers polo shirt on. That's more than dressed up enough for being on the radio. That's
totally fine. Yeah.
So that's what I'm wearing. And Carol's always, you never dress down. You're always dressed up.
Yeah, I got a pair of jeans on and a lace vest and boots. And
very nice. Lovely.
Thank you.
Brandon's wearing sweatpants, which you got sweatpants or shorts?
Sweatshorts.
Sweatshorts he's got.
He always wears shorts.
As it should be every day. The most comfortable outfit ever.
Yeah, so he's about comfort, not dress code. But, you know, that's the unique Brandon thing that he does, which you do you.
That's right.
All right, let's see what Jeff Wagner's going to do after this on WTMJ.
Closing.
All right, another Monday show in the books. Carol Kane, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We covered a lot of ground. Dress codes, vegans. Yep. Not being tolerant of non-vegans or meat eaters, carnivores, as they say.
Okay, the language thing was really fun.
Yeah. All the crazy words that we've stopped using sort of stopped using.
Cattywampus.
Cattywampus, and what was the one that started? Oh, the one that started it all was a innocent text I sent this morning. Gallivanting. Apparently
around.
Not a commonly used. Yep. I use it all the time.
There are a lot of them that I use. Yeah. There was only a couple of them, and the one I didn't even know. The military thing,
yeah.
I don't use because I wasn't in the military.
They're all acronyms, SNAFU and FUBAR. They all have words we can't say on the radio, but they've kind of, you know.
Here's the thing, is that every day I strive to learn something new, every single day. So that's what I learned today about the military.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
I learned tug bustle? What was that?
Bug tussle.
Bug tussle is a rural area.
Okay.
Did you know that bug tussle?
Yes.
How did you know that?
I don't know. It goes back to like the Beverly Hillbillies and stuff,
exactly.
Right?
There you go.
See?
I didn't make that association. Bug tussle. Yeah.
Right. They were like from bug tussle right the immediate area around there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Similar to Podunk.
Yeah, Podunk, Podunk Falls, right, right, yeah, or Apple Jam Turnaround North Carolina.
Now, let me ask you this. When's the last time you threw out a bug tussle? Probably not too recently.
I'm not sure I've ever thrown out a bug tussle, but I kind of knew.
How about a gallivanting? Have you used that?
Yeah.
I like the word. It suggests fun, free spirit.
Oh, I know what it means. I'm just not sure it's fallen into my vocabulary anytime soon.
All right.
But what can you say?
Everybody's different.
He's much more sophisticated than we are.
Yeah, well, I don't. because he doesn't drop bug tussle and gallivanting. Okay, well, with all due respect, team, we're setting the bar pretty low.
Yes,
that's what makes you sophisticated, you know? Although I was at the opera on Friday night, you know, how about that?
See, how highbrow of him.
That's it. Well, it was, right. I mean, I enjoy the opera, but I also enjoy watching pro wrestling. So
wait, you know why I don't go to the opera? Because that makes me cry. Especially Italian opera. I cry. Tears.
You know what I think is so amazing? And a very good friend of mine, runs the Florentine Opera. And, you know, they'll do operas in Italian, and they'll do them in French, and they'll do them in German. And the singers aren't fluent necessarily in Italian or German or French or whatever, but they learn the opera, so they sing in that particular language for that opera, even though they don't speak it.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing to me.
I'm just not smart enough. For the opera. I'm being perfectly honest with you. I don't get it.
You just listen.
Well, right. I don't get it. I get it, but I appreciate the voices. Singers are just
the training involved in that.
Right. Just it is absolutely incredible. Okay. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up on the Wagner Show, which starts right after the news, including an audience participation segment right at the jump. Stick around.